What's going on, guys? It is Thursday night, September 17th, and the voice you're hearing, it is Ken Miller. Yes, I am hosting for the second time this week because James decided he wanted to do comedy and stuff, and he wanted to hang out with Carlos Mencia and hang out till 6 in the morning because James that famous. Well, welcome to Real Labs. This is your host, Ken Miller. He's chilling at home. I got my main man, Miguel Colon Jr. What's up, brother?
What's popping, man?
I'm good, man.
What you smoking this weekend?
Son, I don't know, man. I've been thinking about a macaroni and cheese. There's a macaroni and cheese recipe, but I also might be doing comedy this weekend, and this one of the ones is like 3 or 4 hours, and I don't usually weekends that I'm free is when I smoke something that
I want to throw something for you to smoke that I saw on YouTube. It was smoked meatballs with veal, beef, and pork.
Okay, I do that.
Yeah, and the guy put a little jalapeno and onion in his.
Like he put the jalapeno black in.
Jalapeno black, baby. Album drops next.
It's
week.
Noir.
Jalapeno Noir. That voice you just heard is my favorite white brother on the planet, Mike Hurley. Here. What up, Michael?
Oh, man. Just getting over celebrating Flo Rida's birthday all day yesterday. I was out to all hours. Let me tell you, I'm glad that his birthday is definitely September 16th, because I cannot do that again.
Mike throws his foot up. He's got the boots with the fur.
With the fur, baby. Mike, the only dude
the whole club was looking
jeans.
At me.
Mike was like, hold that dude, some with apple bottoms? What is this? Wait,
hey, if you got it, flaunt it.
I'm about to say, when you got an ass like Mike, he's like, it's all I can wear.
I make Uggs, yays.
Yo. Oh, my God. And the dude I'm about to announce got no ass at all.
None.
My main man, James John. What up, brother?
What's going on? I don't need ass. My wife got it all. That's
you're,
how
you're
I do
only, you're the only guy I know that needs suspenders to keep a thong up.
Sir,
that's true.
John, it's so funny because every time James do that joke, the thong be falling off. I'm like, yo, pull the thong up.
Dude, I think everybody on this feed has been with James after a gig when you stop to grab something to eat 2 hours after the show, and he's like, I'll be right back when you get to the restaurant. It's like, what's up? He's like, I forgot to take the thong off. So he's like at Denny's pulling off.
Mike, best show I did with James, he forgot he wasn't wearing the bra. We were at Vasani's, and he made the joke and popped the shirt off, and nobody was laughing. They were just kind of looking, and then he touches his chest, and he's like, well, I'm not wearing my bra.
Just like that.
We were in the booth. You know, Vasani's got that booth where they film it.
Yeah.
And I saw the bra in the bag because I was going to go set up James's table and stuff with his merch. And I saw the bra in the bag and I was like, oh, he don't. Because there's been times where James forgot the bra. He knows. He's like, uh-oh, forgot to put on the bra. So he just does the joke and just, you know, does the bottom or whatever. Or there was a time he didn't have the panties, you know, saying, so he just didn't. So I'm like, oh, James forgot the bra. And then I'm looking at him up on stage, and I'm like, James has no clue he forgot the bra. And I'm watching it, and I told all the people from Vasani's, the club staff, I'm like, come in here right now. Everybody watches. Because he has no clue he's not wearing the bra, and he's going to do the joke. And y'all know James. He's on train tracks, man. Like, like 20
autopilot.
Seconds. It's autopilot. 20 seconds into the bra joke with no bra on, he's looking at the crowd like, why aren't you laughing?
Yeah, what's your problem?
You know, the best part of that story is Miguel, we know how big Vasani's is. Miguel had the time to run through Vasani's, pulling all the staff over to the booth, when he could have just walked to the side of the stage, held up the bra in James's eyes, like, just so you know.
Miguel, you should have just put the bra on and went up there yourself. Be like, yo, I got...
James be like, everybody's doing my material now.
Hey.
Miguel would okay, like, my bad, man. I forgot to give you the bra.
The thing about Vasani's, though, Vasani's is all gray hairs. It's all old women and old dudes. So my breast was the best looking breast in that room that night. You know how many free drinks I got? Zero. Cool. None.
I
like what he's doing.
James, real talk. I'm going to say this for the last segment. I want to know the origin of that joke. Each one of you guys, I want to know the origin of your favorite joke. We'll say that for the last segment. We'll say it for the last segment. Because I'm always curious to where, like, what gave you that? Because that's a joke that, you know, that takes some balls.
It really does take some balls, you know, to show your
body in a thong and a bra in front of a group of strangers. But we'll talk about that last segment. So we're going to go ahead, like we always do. We do birthdays. It's September 17th. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes, who is now the highest paid player in the NFL. He's also the Super Bowl MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they beat the hell out of Houston yesterday because NFL is back. I don't know if you guys are watching.
Yes, it is.
But yeah. Back, and he had some really good game. Wait, what?
With fans, too.
No, no. No, they're not.
No.
No fans yet.
No fans in the stands yet?
You know, they piped the sound in. Yeah, fake noise.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fake noise.
Tom Brady win yesterday?
No, he didn't.
And he was mad. He was mad.
Who'd they play yesterday? Who'd Buccaneers play?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Oh,
that's a tough game, though.
That was Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
It was a tough game when the referees don't work for you.
It was a tough game. It was a good game.
How bad was it? Was it close?
It got close toward the end. Tampa scored first. Brady ran a touchdown in, and then he was, and then, you know, New Orleans dropped 21 straight on.
Man.
They came back, and then it was a back and forth, and Brady just couldn't connect. And, you know, people think he's a system quarterback, which isn't bad. If you get a system that you work in, that's not your fault. You got a good system. But I think Tampa will do well. I don't know if they'll win that division. I think New Orleans might win that division.
How'd your boy Cam do?
Cam did good. They won.
Cam rushed
two touchdowns. I think
he looked good.
He won his best church hat after that.
Man, he was dressed in the Steve Harvey yellow suit.
And they were playing Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
And Dolphins is always a hiccup for England.
Yeah, he was wearing a Steve Harvey suit, but he had on a Sealy hat from the color purple.
Yeah. he looked like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George.
He really did. He really did, because he had the high waters on just like man.
Yeah, he did.
Real talk, he really did. But he looked good.
Do you think it is for some of those New England fans to go from Tom Brady to Cam?
Let me tell you something, bro. All you got to do is win. If Cam Newton wins a Super Bowl, they're gonna be like Tom Brady who?
They're gonna be like, I'm gonna tell you what my father said. Listen, Sully, I'm gonna tell you what my father said. They're good at some things. Okay. Music and athleticism, that's their thing. And you know what? Good for them. Just as long as they don't walk in the front door of my house, Sully.
The day he does not cover the spread.
Think about this, dude. The Celtics won 11 championships with Bill Russell.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even eat in the same restaurant as those players.
Ridiculous.
And
he couldn't stay in the same hotel.
Have the restaurants. Yeah. It's Boston. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So you think of Jackie Robinson, man. He comes in there. He cleans up for Brooklyn, but everywhere he's on the road, this man can't even stay in the hotel of his team.
So if Cam keeps winning, bro, I ain't saying they're gonna forget Brady, because in my opinion, Brady is the greatest football player of all time.
How long was he with them? Like, span
20
like
years,
decade,
like 18
right?
years, like 18 years.
Sheesh,
like
nobody has a career like that, man. No, in the NFL as a quarterback.
No. And you know how he got that career.
Patriots are loyal to their quarterbacks too.
Yeah.
Before you had Brady,
they got loyal because Drew Bledsoe got hurt.
That's right.
I remember that.
Drew Bledsoe got hurt, and Brady took them to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they were like, "All right, Drew, where you want to get traded to?
Anywhere you want, kid.
It was pretty much any given Sunday. They're like, "Bye, Cap. Yeah. We love you, but you're done."
And then the year Brady got hurt, Elvis Gerbic was their quarterback, their backup. I think it was Elvis. I could be wrong, but he was their backup quarterback. Took them to 11-5. They didn't make the playoffs at 11-5. And the next year, they waved that dude and brought Brady back.
Who was it? Nick Folk was their kicker? Because it was for years, it was always that extra point. That got the Patriots.
No, that was the Colts. That was Adam Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri, yeah.
That was Adam Vinatieri for years. He kicked for years. And then I think he went to New England.
Mm-hmm.
It was something weird. But Patrick Mahomes' birthday. The greatest NBA coach of all time. Happy birthday to Phil Jackson.
His birthday was the 16th. I'm sorry, bro. Because I know him and Flo Rida hang a lot.
We're gonna get the full ride.
I feel
in a minute.
Phil Jackson's birthday is celebrated in black churches.
Oh, son,
you know? It is. We do.
Somebody got a Phil Jackson fan.
They do. Ooh, Lord, Lord have mercy.
Six Chris championships Rossi? With the Bulls and four with the his ten. He got a championship for every finger, and I think he won one with the Knicks as a player. The only time the Knicks ever won a championship.
Remember, I remember Chris Rock had the joke that the next great black leader should be Phil Jackson. He's like, he won't get us to the promised land, but he'll take us to the playoffs.
Oh, so happy birthday to Malik Yoba. You know Malik Yoba from New York Undercover. Mm-hmm. And pretty much any TV show he's in now, he gets killed off in the first season. Me and my wife noticed that. We were like, yo, Malik Yoba dead already? He get killed off in the first season. One of my favorite Tar Heels of all time, Rasheed Wallace. Happy birthday, Rasheed Wallace. One of my favorite MCs of all time. Happy birthday to Dougie Fresh.
Mm. Oh, Dougie Fresh
birthday. And the real birthday for the day, no matter what Mike Hurley he said, happy birthday to Florida, a.k.a. Florida.
Nah, and I got one last birthday.
Man. Old news.
What you got, Blair?
I got one last birthday. It is Jackie Yan's birthday. That's right. Ooh, my mama, OG, hey. Kappa brother three times in the chest. Yo, you know what it is. Happy birthday, bad. Mom. Love you.
That's my happy type birthday. Of woman, yo. Mm-hmm. Shoot me.
You know what you should have gave her for her birthday? Something she never gave you. Play-Doh. There you go. All right.
A Flow Rider CD. You know?
I tell you what, bro.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if Meg Thee Stallion would have been hanging with my mom, Tory Lanez would have never shot her.
I think of your mama as like in Harlem Nights.
Delarice!
Yeah.
Do it. You're going to be a nine-toe living in the kitchen Harlem.
Let me get a co-creator credit on that WAP song.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, man, we only got a couple minutes left. So, the reason I did Flow Rider last because me and Miguel both have stories. My story is when Orlando had the All-Star game here, me and my boy Angel was hanging out at one of the All-Star parties. It was one of the cheap ones that we could get into. It only cost $300 to get in, so we went to it. And at the time, Puffy was popping these certain bottles, and somebody drive by on a golf cart, and my boy Angel like, yeah, look at y'all, all you fakers out here trying to be Puffy popping them bottles. You probably ain't got no money. And then we realized it was Flo Rida, bro. And I was like, Angel, he's worth $80 million. Let's go on inside this hangar and get this stuff right. And we hung out and got drunk with Drake that night.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Flo Rida came over and did the what is it? It's the Funk Festival. You know the Funk Festival that goes through.
Yeah, I go to Funk Fest every year. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was over there at the one in Tampa, and he was staying at the hotel over there. And they told us that he ran into a bar mitzvah going on and came out and performed. What's the one? Apple Bottom Jeans.
Wow. At
the bar. He just saw it, got on there, got with the DJ, and performed it for the bar mitzvah, and then went right back to his room.
That's nice, bro. That's dope,
man. That's something Tom Hanks would do. Tom Hanks would pop up at your wedding and be your best man. Can you imagine getting married and Tom Hanks come in? You tell your best man, you know what, dog? Look,
I can imagine your best man coming to you being like, I got to do something different. I'm going to call an audible. Remember Turner? Not Turner. He's here right now.
Yo, son,
Turner?
I want to call Tom Hanks up for something so obscure, like, excuse me, are you Tom Hanks from Bosom Buddies?
I'd call Tom Hanks when the wedding ends. I'd be like, look, we're getting divorced, and since you were the best man, I figure you can go in on some of this alimony.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to do national holidays, and we're also going to talk about focus groups. I did a focus group today, and I really want to talk about it, man. Welcome back to Real Laughs on Real Radio. I'm your host, Ken Miller. I'm joined by Miguel Colon Jr., James John, Mike Hurley. We are here in, well, not in the studio, but at our houses. You can see I got a bunk bed in the back because I keep gangster, baby. I keep a gangster top bunk, baby. I'm on the top bunk. Gangster,
Yeah.
So legs just hanging out. And it's the metal bunk bed, so it's squeaky.
Yeah.
no matter how much I tighten this damn thing, it just make noise. I can't even sit on it, bro.
Hey, we had a metal bunk bed in my sister's room growing up, and we had the Allen wrench just taped to the wall. Because every couple nights, you got to retighten everything in the Allen with the Allen wrench.
I got the whole set of Allen wrenches.
Yeah.
God dang. I got all of them. I got the 1/8, the 3/16, the 1/5, 5 1/5. I got all of them.
Can we just point out,
deck, man?
Can we point out how quickly life turns? Because just like 2 weeks ago, the promo we put was Ken Miller telling me, Mike, why you sleep on the couch in your house? That is your house. You don't sleep on the couch in your house. Fast forward 2 weeks later. So this is my bunk bed in the spare room.
No. Let me explain, Michael. This is my office when I'm working.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm working, I take naps.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm supposed to be fixing y'all's cell phones, I'll be on this bunk bed and sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah, there's two things I believe. You sleep there because it's in your office, and it's Flo Rida's birthday. All right.
Bro. I told y'all a story with the metal bunk bed. I went to jail because of a metal bunk bed.
Because you took a piece and chased that down with it.
Yeah, I took a piece off the metal bunk bed and beat the guy.
I like how in the story, it's the bunk bed's fault.
Yeah.
If it was a wooden bunk bed, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's like rock music in the 80s.
You would have had the bed knob. You would have been chucking it at his head.
No, man, no. I broke them. It was a red bunk bed, dude. Mm-hmm. I grabbed them two poles and pulled them down. I ran across the street with both bunk bed poles, and I beat the hell out that dude. And then I went to jail, bro.
Yeah.
I went to jail for defending my family, man. That's why, man. That's why I feel like after the police.
IKEA sent a Swedish lawyer. We're actually
surprised he didn't kill himself taking our furniture apart. We have a history.
First of all, the Sfergen is one of our best beds.
That's right.
Son, you made liquor come out my nose, B. Look at the Sfergen, B. Yeah. Oh, man.
Look at the picture, Your Honor. You see all the people smiling? You could not hurt somebody with a Sfergen.
So we always do national days. So it is National Professional House Cleaners Day.
What?
It is. Yeah, it's. Hey, I didn't make the
name. Hola and sapoise. You know?
Yes. I will not do that to my brother. I will not do it to my brother. I've never had this. It's National Apple Dumpling Day.
I've had apple dumplings. That's something I would call a woman's ass, though. You know. What up? Let me get that dumpling.
B. Okay.
Florida.
So it's funny that today is National Professional House Cleaners Day because today is also National Citizenship Day. So all you guys got in legally. Thank you for coming out.
You know what I've said so many times. You know what our show has too much of? Hidden racism. You know what doesn't have overt racism? You just need more blatant racism. If you could throw some that way.
I like my racism on top, like my pepperoni.
Yeah, I like like a cherry. It's also National Monte Cristo Day. Okay,
that's my favorite movie, Conor Monte Cristo, right?
It's like a fried, or what is it like?
It's a battered sandwich.
I always
get food, bro. I always have some food days.
I think every day is a food day.
It is a food day. I don't call my grandparents this or my dad this anything, but it's also National Pawpaw Day.
Pawpaw.
I don't do that. No,
I don't either. I don't
granddaddy or pops.
Yeah.
So grandma. I don't know to that. So what I want to talk about today, man, and you guys said you also took part in is focus groups.
Yes.
Or doing like online surveys and stuff like that. I've been doing online surveys and focus groups for this certain company for probably 10 years. And today I did one on COVID. So this company is releasing a new product for you to be able to go get tested for COVID like right away.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm on this thing, and it's a Zoom call because we can't meet each other live. It's a Zoom call. And when I tell you, you can tell some of these guys have never used Zoom in their life. One guy was at Subway. He was working. Mm-hmm. He making a sandwich on everything I love, bro. I almost took my phone. And if they wouldn't have saw me, I would have recorded it. He was making a sandwich, and he's talking to customers But he didn't mute his mic. He didn't mute. He cut the camera off. The moderator is dying laughing, bro. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so you want lettuce or cheese? You want that heated? Like, he's doing this whole, he's really making the $5 foot long. Another guy, dog keeps barking the whole time. Dog keeps barking. So while he's answering the question, he's opening dog food. Mm-hmm. Coronavirus. Like, do you guys not know how this works? One guy phone keeps going off, and I'm just like, no. Do you guys not know how focus groups work? You supposed to shut your ass up and answer all these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say this: my favorite focus group was I did a focus group for Sonny's Barbecue. And we got to taste barbecue. I did one for Olive Garden where we got to taste Olive Garden food. And I did one for 7-Up when the new 7-Up came out with a 7-Up cranberry.
Was it Godfrey in the room just staring at you?
Yeah, right. Yo, 7-Up yours. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you guys have done a focus group, Mike, I'll start with you. Mike, if you've done a focus group, what was it and what did you do?
Yeah, man. I actually have a buddy. She books the people for those focus groups. And they were holding him down at Old Town in Kissimmee for a long time. They had a little office down there. So every time they had a new focus group, she would call me up and she's like, hey, are you a homeowner? I'm like, no. She's like, okay. And then 5 minutes later, you want to come in anyways, make $50? I'm like, yeah. So you would just go and sit down with a guy and he'd show you like three different faucets and just be like, which one do you like? The one in the middle. Why? It's silver. Okay. Good.
It's easy money.
It is. It's funny, but when you it almost makes you like every movie you see where a guy goes to a therapist and says like really nothing, but then the guy starts writing a paragraph. You're like, what are you writing? What are you writing? What's going on? Yeah. That's how I felt with every focus group. He's like, and how often would you say you take a shower? I'm like, at least once a day, twice if I mowed the lawn. Interesting. You had seven people before me. How is my answer different? Are those people not showering at all? What's going on here, man?
And Mike, he ain't even writing. He writing Flo Rida lyrics.
He showers, trying to make dollars.
James, I think you said during the break that you did focus groups too, right?
I did a few of them. I do one for the, I think me and Mike do the same one for homeowners, new products like toilet seats or new faucets. But the most interesting one I did, I think I might have got a comedian television show canceled because it was at Universal Studios and we were watching Whitney Cummings' first show that she was on, that sitcom, Whitney. Yeah. And we were just telling them everything that we thought about it. We told them the truth. And next thing I know, 2 months later, that show was off the air. So my bad, Whitney. I didn't know.
I actually thought that show was funny.
Whitney, you're testing well in all markets except for one chubby black guy in Orlando who said no. So we really can't lose the chubby black guy demographic because you know we do a lot of snack commercials. So
Doritos is like, pull the plug.
What did they pay you for that one? I'm just curious.
More than Whitney paid for the first season.
I think it was $50, but it was me and my wife. So that paid for lunch.
Yeah. Mike, what was the most you made? Because I'm curious. Because I've made $500 on one.
Wow. No, the most I made was like $75. But when I worked at Universal Studios back in like 2000, 2001 at the Confrontation Ride, like, dude, we were making no money. We were broke all the time. But they did that. They did the interview thing, but they did it in portables on the back lot. So me and my buddy, when we would go on break, we would just change back into our street clothes. And the people over there knew us, but you weren't allowed to survey employees of Universal. So we'd change into our street clothes, go over there, and they knew us. But the people running the interviews, they don't care if you're an employee. They just got to get a certain number a day done. So we go over there and they pay us $5 for a 15-minute, thing. And then we could go get chicken nuggets on the back lot. And that's how we ate lunch like every day while I worked. Yeah.
See, mine was $500 because I did one where for 2 weeks I had to, it was about cleaning products. So the survey was, the focus group was about men who also helped around the house. So we had to do videos of ourselves cleaning something every day for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then once we were done, we had to go to a hotel off of iDrive and sit in front of a panel of people and tell them what was our favorite cleaning product, Why do we use it? How do we clean up? Like it was,
And you deserve $500 for that because that was pretty.
And when when we left, they gave us like, matter of fact, it was almost 2 years ago. I just realized they gave me a box of chocolates. It's downstairs on my sitting on my counter. I'm like, I don't even know why this is here, but I made $500, bro. Yeah. I love the thing. So Miguel, you've done a focus group.
Yeah, I used to work in the Florida Mall and was it Simon's Malls and stuff like that. They would always have like in those little back areas, focus groups for products and things like that. And I used to do them all the time because I would hear about them. The girl would come in and it's the same thing Mike says. She would come in to eat lunch and she'd be like, if I can't find anybody, you want to come do this one? And I'm like, yeah. Because what they used to do was they would, in the ones they did in the mall, they paid you out with a mall gift certificate. But I could use that mall gift certificate and change it out to cash for my register because we use those in the restaurant. So they didn't keep big details. So every time I'd come in with a different name and stuff because it was like they were writing me a check or giving me something. And what's funny about him is like she would talk to everybody with their name always. She would be like, Mike, what did you think about the video we saw from the Doritos ad? And you'd be like, I liked it. Thank you, Mike. Miguel. What did you think about the Doritos ad? I'd be like, I liked it. Thank you, Miguel. Natasha. And it was like, it was so weird. And like, and they would ask weird questions. Be like, were there any colors that you remember from the ad? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'd be like, you know, blue. Okay. There was no blue in the ad, Miguel. And I'd be like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm just trying to cash this goddamn gift card.
Dude, you know? Miguel, just point out that gift card thing. Like restaurants, when I worked in them, every year around the holidays, they do things where they try and press gift cards because they know most people don't even come back and use them.
$25 gift card.
So you get the bonus for every, like, if you buy $100, you get like a $20 gift card free. So as a server or bartender, I would buy gift cards because for every $100 I bought, I was getting 20. And then I would just use those to pay cash bills for the next however long.
Yeah. I would go to Europe every March on those. I lied to you not. For 4 years, I went to Europe after gift card season.
There's money.
And it got to the point, Mike, where I wasn't even cashing them. The UPS driver who would bring them would give me a box. I'd be like, where are the gift cards? Because here's all the stuff. I'd be like, cool, thank you very much.
You know, the other thing I did,
by the way, they don't pay. They used to pay you with a check. Yeah. Now they only give you, like a Visa gift card now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, these were restaurants, though. Yeah. We were buying gift cards for our own restaurant. But the other thing I did when I first got my Square, you know how people will give people gift cards for Christmas, but it's not cash. So I had people who would have gift cards. Not even me. I tell people, I'm like, dude, I'll cash that out for you, but I'm going to charge you $10. They gave me a $100 one. I take off the fees and $10 for myself. Here's your $87 or whatever else. They're happy. I'm happy. We're good.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can do that. Not a bad racket. Too, now.
Look at my straight criminal.
Well, everybody has a Square now or some sort of reader. So
that is true.
That's true.
Well, look, man, we're going to hit a commercial real quick. When we come back, I want to talk to the guys about their favorite joke and how did you come up with that joke. So we'll be right back on Real Laughs and Real Radio. We're back, Real Laughs on Real Radio. It is Thursday night. I'm joined. I keep wanting to say in the studio, man. I'm joined at day home with Miguel
virtual studio.
James John, Mike Hurley, virtual studio. It's Thursday night, man. It's the weekend is coming up. I don't know if you guys got comedy or not. I do. I hope.
I do.
And James does. And I want to talk about.
Where are you at this weekend, Ken?
Maybe the improv. I might if Tommy Davidson doesn't bring a feature, then I'll be featuring this weekend.
Nice.
So I'm kind of a standby. Because last year, thank God for Tony Black. Tony Black just happened to be there, and they didn't have a feature, and he ended up getting the feature. So you know, it's one of those shows where you know whoever there is like, oh, we need a feature.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm here.
and where may you be at? It's funny that we live in a time now where it's like you don't know.
Yeah.
Like I understand the improv thing, but James, you're in a situation where you're booked, but where are you supposed to be this weekend, man?
What's going on? Actually going to be performing at a club that's partly owned by our former Real Laughs host, Mr. Devin Siebold, at the Laugh Out Lounge.
Yeah, new club out in Winter Haven.
Where's it at?
Winter Haven.
Cool. Yeah. I'm supposed to be there with Mr. Ryan Holmes from Monsters in the Morning. The show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
Oh, ooh, nice. Cool. So nice.
Have that happened because that is open yet or?
Well, they did shows last weekend with Travis House. Yeah. So we're supposed to, I think you're supposed to be there the next weekend, right, Miguel?
I'm supposed to be there next week, yeah. So I was wondering.
Yeah, this dude told me I was like the grand opening.
You are. This ain't the grand opening. This ain't the grand opening, though. This is a soft grand opening next year.
How you have 5 weekends before the grand opening?
That happens all the time in business, Ken.
Man, what happens all the time, baby? I'm a dope dealer. If I give you the drugs right now, but you brought drugs from 5 more drug dealers, I got to kill them drug dealers.
Hey, okay, got it.
Hey, Miguel,
you the grand opening. Man, you're a soft opening.
You ain't ever going to move drywall that way, just so you know.
You better stick to, hey, I see you moving drywall in one of my corners. I'm a captain.
Yo, Fred.
You move that turkey, son. That's
well, you know about this backsplash mortar all the kids are.
Yo, I got turkey. You got that drywall. Mike got car parts.
Mike's an enforcer. Mike beats up dudes yanking off in front of his house. So like,
yeah.
I have very few rules in life.
But Ken, when are you supposed to be there?
I don't know, B. I don't know my
October, right?
Either, man. We're preseason, man.
I got old school calendars. Like
You composition note.
Hold on, where we at?
He got a trapper keeper.
Hey, didn't it say 2019 on it? Hold up.
It say 2020, bro.
Okay, I was like for a minute. Right.
So the first week of October is doing Devin joint. Yeah. And then I got Deltona, I got Port Charlotte, I got Greenville Comedy Zone, and Vero Beach.
That's gotcha.
Gotta make this Christmas money, man.
You ain't lying.
I'm not headlining.
can you believe we already in September, man? Like I have not worked for 6 months, bro.
Well, because March took 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took us seven years to get out of March. Matter of fact, when COVID hit and we went home in March, it was like March 14th.
Well, That's exactly right. Yeah.
And then seven years later, bro, it was March the 31st.
I was watching
it's like a SpongeBob episode. Yeah. 7 years later.
I was watching 12 Years a Slave, and I was like, man, at least you're working.
At least you work.
Anyway, man. So really, real talk. We were talking about James forgetting his bra and or his underwear at the beginning of the show, and that's like James' signature joke. Everybody know James for that joke. So I always wonder how comedians come up with their favorite joke, their signature joke. So James, we'll start with you because it's pretty much about you. It's your closer. It's the one that destroys. How did you come up with that?
Well, actually, I started with a joke about a girl, a fictional ex-girlfriend named Regina. I used to talk about, I like big women, and I talk about, you always know when a big girl gets to a club. You know how you know? Because she lets you know she just arrived in the club. Remember back in the day, women would come in and be like, oh, girl, that's my jam, all that. So I would do a joke about Regina and say a couple things about how she drops it like it's hot and all this stuff and went through this whole thing. And then I said, what if I took it to another level? What if instead of me just describing it and getting some laughs, you know, a little bit of laughter, what if I try to make it a bigger joke? What if I visually show them what I mean? And at that point, I was 350 pounds. So I was like, what if I actually, I was a big boy. What if I put on a bra? What if I put on a thong? And at the very end, the last moment, I get some music to play and I strip out of my clothes and they see me standing there in the outfit that I've been describing all this time. So I remember the first time I did it, Ken, I was at that old bonkers room that we love so much at Universal Studios, City Walk.
Oh,
I was in City Jazz, man. That was an amazing club. The first night I did it, Ken, I was an MC, by the way. People stood up on their feet and gave me a standing ovation and wouldn't stop clapping for like 5 minutes. Because imagine seeing a big dude like me just strip his clothes off and has on a pink thong.
Which I would hurt. Ian Katowski was the main one. He said, man, if James hosting, please don't let him do that joke because don't nobody want to follow that.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not supposed to do a joke like that as an MC. But I will tell you, my old boss, what he would do, he would have me do that joke in front of the headliner
So he would bring clients in when he was trying to open up a new, you know, comedy venue, and he let them see me do that and show them how funny it was, and they would think every comic is going to be that funny to open up in their venue. So he would open up a bunch of clubs off of me like that. So
yeah, that's why he did it. He really did. I made good money off of that guy in my early days of comedy.
I used to have a room, so I would try to get booked in the first couple weeks of that guy's rooms because I didn't know how many more weeks some of the rooms would have.
Which is crazy because he would have like 10 rooms. And like four or five of them would last for years, but like five of them would last for like a couple of months. So you wanted to get in early.
Yeah. And sometimes the rooms that lasted years, you're like, how is this room still going?
Still here.
Yeah. And then other rooms, you were like, this is amazing. This can last hours.
Yeah. And there was no consistency. Some rooms you'd be in, like, I took Charlie Bowie with me. His first gig with that company was in the Midwest. We did...
Like the fairs?
Milwaukee. We did the Pottawatomie Casino in Milwaukee.
Ooh, dude, that's my room.
His first gig ever. So this was Charlie's first gig, and he was like overwhelmed with how nice the stage was, the sound, the audience, how they treated you, the hotel, the gang fed, the VIP treatment. And I looked at him, I'm like, it's not always like this. And then the very next week, we were in a bowling alley with four people. So same company. This guy... You got to hand to him. He will put a club anywhere.
You'd be online at an abortion clinic like, hey, I'm going on.
You'll be working a truck stop bathroom. They're like, look, they do six shows a night because we only seat four in here.
Yeah. No. Crazy. Not that one. Crazy. Go to the third stall. That's where the comedy's going.
It's crazy, though, man. When I started with them, it wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't.
It was like really great clubs when I started. I call it the golden era of the, and I don't want to, I ain't going to drop the name.
Here's why. They were here. When you can actually stay and see your product, you take a certain care with it because you see it. You got a relationship with the manager where they call you directly, so you got to answer for certain things. But when you expanded as much as he did. He did it like there was a boom. Remember that, Ken, when he just got a bunch of rooms all of a sudden?
It was like 10 rooms. Like you work 20 times a year from one club, and that's unheard of. You work
solid months of work without repeating. Yeah, and then he got to the point where he would put you back through twice a year.
I remember, for me working those, I got in like 2011, end of 2011-ish, 2000, but I remember 2012. Being young in this and getting hit up by a lot of other comics, like, hey, do you want to feature in this city? Do you want to to me, think about being only a year in comedy, thinking that that's how it is, that you're going to be featuring at all these different cities because they had so many rooms. They had so many.
Once you were in, so many rooms, man.
And I remember, in fact, I did the Why Not Lounge. I remember this, Ken, because I didn't know you, but I'd heard about
my favorite club.
And I was featuring for Jersey, and it hadn't gone through with them. They hadn't approved it. And I was featuring. I was like 3 or 4 weeks in, and I had good 20. But if you wanted me to do 21, I was dead. You know, like I remember Ken walks in, and I had seen you perform, Ken, and I was like, oh, this Ken Miller I heard about. And Ken walked in, and you like, AB, I'm on the phone with Margaret. If you ain't funny, that's it. And I'm like coming up to shake your hand, like, oh, this Ken Miller, man, this guy's in the seat. AB, I'm on the phone with Margaret now. If you ain't funny, that's it.
You know, and that's my dog. A lot of people didn't like her, but that's my dog. But let's get back to it. Mike, your favorite joke, and how did you come about it?
I don't know what joke you want to hear.
I would say my favorite joke of yours is the breathing. Your parents are breathing joke. That's probably my favorite joke of yours.
Yeah, that actually happened in a way. And the joke basically is that my mom had three boys, and she would come in every night and check to see if we were asleep and not up and talking and watching TV and playing around. And we would pretend to be asleep because we didn't want to get yelled at. So she would come in and put her hand on her back to see if we were breathing. And after I realized that what she was doing, check and see if we were breathing, I decided to be like just sneaky and start holding my breath to kind of freak her out. And she never freaked out. Like the joke ends with her whispering in my ear, like one down, two to go. Like she's happy I'm dead. But truthfully, what happened is she would just put her hand on my back. I wouldn't be breathing. She put her hand up and down the entire length of my body looking for signs of life. I wouldn't be budging. and then she'd just leave. And I'm like, lady, I'm literally giving you no signs of life. And then that's, so in my head, I just realized she was like surprised when I get up in the morning. So yeah, man, that was for, I think most jokes though come from, you know, a real place in some sense, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. Comedy is always, for me, comedy is always something that happened to you exaggerated by 10, or it's something like a lot of the comedy I have is, you know, when it, something happens to you and you just leave the situation, you're driving home and you're like, what I should have said was blah, blah, blah. So when I tell the joke on stage, it's now the situation with what took me an hour of cooling down to come up with what would have said. And now presenting that as the story of what I said. And then after shows of people like, I could never say that to somebody. I'm like, I guess you ain't me. I'm just a beast.
I was going to ask Miguel his, but I don't know where the hell he went. He done dropped off. So
he got nervous because he didn't write any of his jokes.
Yeah, right, right.
He's like, I'm done.
For me, mine would be the rapper joke. My favorite joke now is about my son being a rapper. It's my favorite joke. It's my favorite joke. And my son is really a rapper, and he really raps about gangster stuff. He raps about killing and shooting. I'm like, yo. Your mama got a good house. I got a good house. I'm the HOA president. You know what I'm saying? She the HOA president in her neighborhood. Like, you can't be, you went to Lake Brantley, which is like an all white school. My son's scared of geckos. Like, you can't be a gangster rapper and a lizard come in the house and you like, dad, I can't sleep in the room. It's a lizard in there. I'm going to sleep in your room. You going to sleep in my room. Funny. And I got to catch the lizard. So my favorite joke is about my son being a rapper and all these tough lyrics he rap about, and he's not even a tough kid. You know what I'm saying? He's not a tough guy. He's like 6 feet tall, maybe 140 pounds. I was like, Junior, I grew up in the hood. I grew up with some gangsters. Mm-hmm. I grew up with some real, I grew up with like five of my friends in jail right now for murder. Like real murder. Like, I grew up with some real thugs. I said, boy, you grew up with the kid that worked at Jeremiah's ice cream shop. Like, you didn't grow up with no gangsters, so stop rapping about gangster stuff. So I'm trying to get him to learn how to rap. Like, he can be like a J. Cole. You can still rap about where you grew up and where you live and not be soft.
Well, it's funny because it's kind of the same thing with comedy. You can tell when people aren't being authentic to who they really are.
Yeah.
Like, when they're up there saying stuff that they just think is funny and they get off stage, I'm like, dude, are you really like a womanizer like that? Do you really beat your girl when she gets out of line? She's like, no, I love my girl. I'm like, then why would you even joke about it?
Yeah, why would you even joke about it?
Get up there and do jokes that are you. Be yourself.
When it comes from a true place, you're going to tell the joke a little bit differently. You're going to put a little bit more into it when it really happened. Like, my favorite joke to do right now is not my thong joke. My favorite jokes are all my jokes that happened beginning of my set about my kids, because it all happened. All those things I get to do about them, I tell it with a lot of zest, because it really did happen, and it was a true story. So.
Well, hey, man, we come to the end of the show. I am at the Orlando Improv this weekend.
Maybe.
I hope, maybe. James, where are you at this weekend?
Maybe.
I'm at the Laugh Out Lounge and Winter Haven. Maybe.
Michael, where you at this weekend?
I'm going to be where you guys end up, home.
Oh, man.
Hey, man. We want to thank y'all so much for listening, man. It was such a fun week, man, this week, man. I'm Cam Miller. We got James John. We got Mike Hurley. We're Real Laughs. We will see you next week. Thank y'all for coming out. God bless you, and good night.